Another beautiful day to be here with you guys and just different for us, you know. And my wife just keeps reminding me, she said, those clouds look so close. I said, honey, we're 5,000 feet up in the air. We're that much closer to them. But it's absolutely beautiful. That we really enjoy you guys' hospitality, that we're here to be with you here this high day. And the Sabbath. As Mr. Ford was mentioning, I better look at the clock. Let me do that. About promises that was made to us. And it's very interesting how he walked through that and brought that to our revealing, you know, about who we are and how we stand in the face of our great God. But on a day of Pentecost, many years ago, it was the beginning of things to come in the plan of God and His covenant for the New Testament church. But without the sacrifice and shed blood of Jesus Christ, it would not have been possible. God has set in motion the reality and the vision of His coming kingdom upon this earth. No force in nature, seen or unseen, would stop the inevitable plan of this wonderful vision in the family of new. In the book of Acts, there are many reminders of the events that happened in that historical day in Jerusalem. Life-changing events that many gave their physical lives for, and on occasion left in haste to hold on to that promise and the vision of the kingdom. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell upon the church in power. In Acts 2, in verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues that the Spirit gave them utterance. If you could visualize for a moment, and if you actually could see with your own eyes, if God would give us that vision, is to see that little lick of flame that sits above your head. Because that Spirit rests within you. And so God did this for a dramatic occasion that we would know what that Spirit would look like. And wouldn't it be different? I won't say it'd be odd, but would it be different if you could walk out that door in every hand that God has put upon men and women at this time, and you see that flame above their head as they walk among men? I would think that would be a fantastic sight, because it brings back memories of my first feast back in the 80s, and we would always go to Pasadena. And what would you see? Those little green stickers. The little green stickers on those bumpers. And when you go to the feast, you would see those stickers on the cars. And people going, yeah, they're going to the same place. Or you're driving around town and you're lost looking for a restaurant. And then you see about 10 cars make a U-turn trying to find a place. And so that kind of brings to me memories of God's Spirit within his people. Now, after Christ's resurrection and the coming Spirit, Peter and John gave both sermons that upset the people who were in control. Sadducees, Pharisees, the high priests. And they were arrested. They were not fearful anymore. Because you remember what happened right before Christ was crucified. They all fled away. They went and they hid. Peter did not. But yet, he did something else. And then when Christ spoke to him about feeding his lambs, and he asked him three times, wanting to know what was the level of commitment. And he said, yes. Remember yesterday when I mentioned about, do we really know when it comes to a situation of life changing in what we know and what is embodied within us? And Christ told him, you will deny me. And he did. But after the crucifixion, they came out in boldness. They were not fearful anymore. And when Peter and John were released and they went back to the brethren, they told them what had happened. And they spoke and they were filled with that Spirit that God has sent to man. A preview of things to come. Acts 4 and verse 31, it says, and when they had prayed, they were all assembled together and were shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. As Mr. Ford mentioned about in Scripture, not having to worry about what you will say when those situations come, but will you say it? Christ says he will deny you if you deny him. And so the infusion of the Spirit gives us the strength to do God's will, to answer, to give why you live the way you live. Jesus Christ said before his crucifixion, and he spoke about the coming of the Helper, in John 14 and verse 26. John 14 and verse 26. It says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance of the things I've said. How many times have you said, I must have Alzheimer's. Something is going on because I can't remember. Where is that scripture? You know, we do have memory scriptures that we keep close to us. But God says that his Spirit flows through us and he will supply. He will supply when it's needed. It will become crystal clear. The Helper, indeed, we need. And our journey cannot continue to follow Jesus Christ and God the Father unless we have this vital power that strengthens and embold us each and every day. In our booklet, God's Holy Day Plan, it says the fruits are the first agricultural products of mature and ripen. Throughout your Bible, God uses the analogy of the harvest, and particularly on Pentecost, first fruits to illustrate aspects of his plan of salvation. One of the first harvest lessons we find is Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. The wave sheaf offering represents Jesus Christ, who was the firstborn over all creation and the firstborn from the dead, as we read in Colossians 1, 15 and 18. He, Jesus Christ, presented himself to God the Father as a type or an example of that first fruit on that Sunday after that resurrection. The same day, during the days of unleavened bread, which the first sheaf of grain of the spring harvest was waved before God. Today, let us look at why we need the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts begins with the resurrection. Maybe I need a drink of water. Think so? Yeah. The book of Acts begins with the resurrected Jesus Christ promising the gift of the Spirit to his disciples. With the Spirit would come power to carry out the mission of taking the gospel to the world. In Acts 1 and verse 8, it said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be a witness to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." In this booklet, on page 26, here in paragraph 2, it says, "Humanly speaking, no matter how hard we try not to, we still sin. Acknowledging this inherent weakness of humanity, God lamented in Deuteronomy 5 and verse 29. Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me, always keep all my commandments that it might be well with them." A few months ago, I gave a sermon on the power in Jesus Christ, and how that power courses through our spiritual veins now, and what it means to us as Christians, how it transforms us as Christians doing this work. Jesus declared the mission of the work in a geographic progression beginning in Jerusalem, spreading to Judea, crossing the cultural divides of Samaria, and on to the rest of the world. We see, as the book of Acts unfold, the Holy Spirit or testimony to the church at these critical stages of the work. Again, in our booklet, God's Holy Day Plan, it says, "The holy days have meaning that build upon each other, and together they progressively reveal how God works with humanity. On this historic day, God poured out his Spirit upon those who believed, and God and his Son became visible to the world. Jesus, during his ministry, spoke of the Father, but how many believed? They wanted to stone him for him wanting to compare himself with the Father, is what they screamed. Now, with many people being moved and guided by the very essence of God's very being, his Spirit, now men can see, and indeed they did." Peter explained how his listeners could receive this Spirit, and he said, "Repent. Repent, because when those men says, 'What shall we do?' he says, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit.'" Why do we need the Holy Spirit? The question. The heart of the matter is, man has a heart problem. Man has a heart problem. Turn back to Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. And it's very plain when God mentioned this to us, Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, God the Father wants to eliminate the uncertainty of the heart. And how will he do this? It is very clear from these words. We have a problem that separates us from the living God. So God's remedy is that by sending his Spirit, that we may be joined with him and Jesus Christ in our quest to be in his family. And when we think about these words, God has seeded throughout this book words of hope. Ezekiel 36 and verse 26. After in Jeremiah saying how wicked the heart is, he says in Ezekiel 36 in verse 26, I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. As in the time of old, even today, the problem of a stony heart still exists. We are evermore so on our knees, repenting of the ways that we should leave behind when we committed ourselves to baptism. But at times they just continue to keep flooding back into our lives, causing us to repent. And on that fateful day, the Spirit came among men. And after they had heard and said, what shall we do? As we read, the Apostle Peter was there in boldness with an answer. Let's read it. Acts 2, verse 37, 38. Acts 2, verse 37 and verse 38. It says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. How many throughout the many centuries have accepted and practiced this way of life? Not a whole lot. Even in my short span of life, many have come and gone, and they were on fire, as some would say, but it only lasted a minute. That we, as the long-suffering, the perseverance that we put within us, we must not allow our flame to dim or go out. If only they had held dear and near to their bosoms, as we do, God's systematic plan that symbolizes his holy days to save mankind. And in the booklet again, we will take an excerpt from it that says, in this world, we are simply at the beginning. We are at the beginning of the harvest of the kingdom of God. The Apostle Paul understood this well. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. It says, but now Christ has risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are in Christ at his coming. And we can look back in this book Because as the first believers chose men to mediate conflict, as Mr. Ford mentioned, there is still those things within us that causes a little bit of a friction. And so, men were chosen. There was a conflict between in Jerusalem, the Greek and Hebrew widows in Jerusalem. Their first requirement was that the men who will come to us be known and be full of the spirit of wisdom. Acts 6, verse 3. And of those seven men, one was Stephen, a man full of the faith and of that spirit. Acts 6, verse 5. And I will read them to you. You don't need to turn there. Acts 6, verse 3, it says, therefore, brethren, seek out among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. In verse 5, and they were saying, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, because they chose Stephen, a man full of faith. God the Father does the calling. It is upon His timetable, it is upon His control to bring in the harvest. The day of expansion came about on that day because of that rushing wind. And I mentioned those little flames that rested upon those who chose on that day in Jerusalem. Even today, God the Father continues to call, but He puts one specific caveat on that. John 6:44. No man comes to me unless the Father sent me draws him. We as a church have a sizable presence on the internet and making great headway in the broadcast media and print media. We understand that God has provided these means to us. It is not of our own will or power, but God's, and through His Son, Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the very presence of God that operates in our lives for God's will for you to do His work here on this earth. Now, for us to fully grasp how that Spirit works within us, we must at some point comprehend what that Spirit is. What is it? It is described as the power of God that's work in our lives, the same power at work in the ministry of Jesus Christ. In Romans 15 and verse 13, it says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, step one, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Peter made the understanding clear. In the episode of Ananias and Sapphira, Peter charged them both with lying and tempting the Holy Spirit. Acts 5, verse 3, Peter says, Ananias, why have you filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back a portion of the land? Because he had told them that he would give them land. And he decided that he changed his mind, that he was not going to do that. And so Peter confronted him. In verse 4 it says, while it remained, was it not your own? And after it was so, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have lied to men, not to men, but to God. We must be very careful in our dealings with that power that's within us. And when we tell our great God and His Son, this is what I'm going to do. And I would venture to say that I tell everyone, because I, as Mr. Ford say, I speak to myself. I never say never. As I mentioned yesterday, it's a situation that come up in this book. I would never do that. No. Hold your tongue. Hold your tongue. Because in the heat of that moment, when you say nothing, God puts His hand on you in a firmer way that you will do His will. Because man has, over the millennia, has fought God tooth and nail. And we still have some of that within us because we are a product of this world. Born into sin, born under sin, and God has reached within the darkness and He pulls you out. But still, if you visualize that as He pulls you out, there is a hand that's on your foot that's wrapped around your ankle, trying to pull you back into the mire and the darkness. These are the things that we should be afraid of. You know, I grew up in a Baptist background. And I think, my God, that I wasn't really immersed in it. Because I think at times, because I've seen over the years about people where they have come from a different place, like we all have, like immigrants have come to this place in front of God, and the pull of come back. You still get those emails that you had a subscription 3 years ago, and it showed up in your email, Randy, we want you back. I've forgotten about those guys, but they've not forgotten about you. Taking full advantage of that spirit that courses through you like blood. Now, because you have that spiritual blood within you now, and you have that for a reason, to strengthen, and that you will grow by the riverside that feeds you, not changing, not going back. But when Peter said to Sapphira, Acts 5 verse 9, how is it that you agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? And so, at that moment, she too keeled over and died. Our heart problem comes full circle in our lives as human beings. We, as a human being, cannot express the proper love that God requires of us. Since baptism, we have been on a road to removal of that stony heart. You get angry. And sometimes you have to stop yourself, because the adversary would want you to have that stony heart. He would want you to be unforgiving. He would want you to be careless with your tongue. And for us to fully realize what is operating within our lives and within us as Christians, we must radiate that spirit. It must come out of your pores. And for this to happen, we must embrace this life, as signified by this day that you were given the helper that will lead you. Because wherever you go, the presence will be known. People will know your name. They will know who you are. Do any of you have a favorite restaurant you frequent? We do. And you walk in, they see you, they greet you, and especially when you bring friends that don't know these places. And they would make the comment to you, man, you know everybody. Well, you know, we just frequent these places, but they know who we are and what we do. Because they will ask the question, oh, you guys going to a dinner or something? I said, no, we just finished with our church service. Oh, okay. And they know what we eat. And they know we're different. Well, you know what? There's nothing wrong with the pork. Pig is good. That's that other white meat. When they say that, have some. No. Our hearts must radiate and be in tune with God. And as we read in Ezekiel 36, verse 26, God says, I will give you that new heart. I will put that spirit within you. I will remove that stone that is against every man, a heart with the ability to love, to forgive, to be patient, to be kind. You know, in the days of old, the Jews valued above all the receiving of the law at Mount Sinai on this day. We as Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, in knowing that that great miracle that happened on the first Pentecost with the New Testament church, we understand the value of keeping the spiritual intent of God's law. You see, Pentecost serves as an annual reminder that our Creator God still works miracles, giving His Spirit to His spiritual first fruit on this first harvest day. Our need for God's Spirit is great. We must continue to ask for that Spirit, that His work be done here on this earth. God has given us through His Son, Jesus Christ, the power to carry out His work in this world with a new heart and being part of His first harvest.